Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Not much news this week. We sold a few more apps on the iPhone, four, I think, for October. Android has surely dropped off a bit due to the unavailability for a short period. However, it is back, and now the only difference is that you buy it through Amazon.com instead of the Android Marketplace. This being the 20th episode, I wanted to talk a bit about Prince Hall Freemasonry, what it is, who founded it, and what it means to the fraternity. So, here is the origin of Prince Hall Masonry as told by www.freemasonry.bcy.prince_hall/history. Prince Hall, the history. Prince Hall, our founder, was one of our great Americans, a worthy Grand Master associated with our first Grand Lodge and its expansion. His name is carried by our Masonic organizations in the United States and by thousands of Freemasons who regard themselves as his descendants from the Grand Lodge of England, from which he received his authority more than two centuries ago. We in America celebrated in 1976 the 200th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. This is also the 200th and first anniversary of the founding of Prince Hall Masonry. It is a monument to Prince Hall's life, career, and leadership. It was a significant event in Freemasonry on March 6, 1775, when Prince Hall and 14 other men were initiated into Freemasonry through warrant number 459, which is still in our possession. John Batt, who was the 38th Foot Regiment of British Army, having enlisted in 1759, and learning of the American cause, re-enlisted in its army. The enlistees were Prince Hall, Cyrus Johnston, Buson Slinger, Prince Reese, John Canton, Peter Freeman, Benjamin Tyler, Duff Ruffarm, Thomas Santerson, Prince Raiden, Cato Spain, Boston Smith, Peter Best, Fortin Howard, and Richard Tightley. The writer has this record. A permit was issued for these Freemasons to meet as an African Lodge No. 1, and they became the first black Freemasons in the United States. Prince Hall enlisted and served as a soldier in the 2nd and 6th Regiments of the Massachusetts. In this connection, George W. Williams, historian, wrote in 1884 that he saw hard service. We know by the record of the two regiments he served in, always distinguished for steadiness and valor. Prince Hall was not only a good soldier, he was a statesman. The Revolutionary War being over in 1783, Prince Hall decided to approach England again. On March 2nd, 1784, he wrote a letter to William Moody, worshipful master of Brotherly Love Lodge No. 55 in London, England, stating that African Lodge had been in operation for 8 years, and they had only a permit to walk on St. John's Day and to bury their dead in a manner and form, and he thought it best to send to the fountains from whence he received the light of the warrant. This warrant or charter was prepared, but was not sent. 3 years passed, yet the payment for it had not been received in London. It seems that Prince Hall had sent it, but it had not been delivered. Finally, he was careful in selecting his messengers, and asked Captain James Scott, brother-in-law of Governor John Hancock of Massachusetts, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Captain Scott delivered the letter and the money, and received a charter. Prince Hall acknowledged this receipt and added it in this letter to England. By the grace of God, I shall endeavor to fulfill all that is required of me in the charter, and I shall make the Constitution my guide. He added, I hope we can adorn our profession as Masons. This charter, under lock and key, is in possession of the African Lodge of Massachusetts. Some of us have seen it and treasure it. It is believed to be the only original charter issued from the Grand Lodge of England, which is now in the possession of any lodge in the United States. It is worth nothing that recognition of this fact was adopted in a unanimous report of a committee of the historic Northern Jurisdiction in 1946, but it was delayed by another committee's action. Some white Freemasons say the blacks were not denied admission to White Lodge, and they point to very few members and the presence of others by invitation as proof. We believe otherwise. For a contemporary, Dee Bentley wrote in his diary, "The thrust is they are ashamed of being on equality with blacks. Even the fraternities of France, given to merit, without distinction of color, do not influence Massachusetts Masons to give an embrace less emphatically or tender affectionate to their black brethren. It is evident that a preeminence is claimed by whites." The questions of extending Freemasonry arose when Absalom Jones of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, appeared in Boston in 1791. He was an ordained Episcopal priest and a Freemason who was interested in establishing a Masonic lodge in Philadelphia. In 1792, black men came from Providence, Rhode Island, to Boston to inquire about Freemasonry. They attended to hear the charge by Prince Hall, who was speaking of the presence of these men, said, "My dear brethren of Providence, who are at the distance from and cannot attend this lodge but seldom, Freemasons in both places made in England, the West Indies and or elsewhere, came to Boston to see Prince Hall and suggested their cities as places for lodges. At a subsequent assembly, the African Lodge was formed in 1791 by delegations from Philadelphia, Providence, and New York in a Grand Lodge assembly. Prince Hall was elected Grand Master and remained in his office until his death. African Lodge in Philadelphia and Hiram Lodge in Providence came under his aegis in 1797. With growth and expansion, the movement went west and south. Prince Hall died December 4, 1807. His successor was Nero Prince, who sailed to Russia in the year 1808. George Middleton succeeded him for 1809 to 1810. Then Peter Lew, Samuel H. Moody, and the well-known John T. Hilton. It was Hilton who recommended adopting a Declaration of Independence from the English Grand Lodge in 1827, as the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts had done in 1772, thereby assuming the power and prerogatives of an independent Grand Lodge. On November 7, 1828, Freedom's Journal, the first black newspaper, praised Prince Hall as the founder of African Lodge of Boston and for his work for the Grand Masonic Lodge. The heritage which Prince Hall left us has authentic and factual goodness to us as Masons, and we go forward distributed in 44 Grand Lodges, Eastern Star, 2 Supreme Councils, Golden Circles, Shriners, Daughters of Isis, Brothers and Sisters in the United States, the West Indies, Canada, Liberia, and West Africa, all doing a great work and spreading a good cause in Masonry. To all these, and those who read this, we say, as Prince Hall said in 1797, "Blessed be God, the scene is changed. They now confess that God has no respect of persons, and therefore receive them as friends and treat them as brothers. Thus doth Ethiopia stretch forth her hand from slavery to freedom and equality." So there you have the history and origin and a little better understanding of Prince Hall Freemasonry. If you have never been to a Prince Hall Lodge, by the way, you're missing out. So fitting with the theme of this week's history lesson, I wanted to read a paper also relating to Prince Hall. I said it in the beginning that Prince Hall needs its own episode. So here is an excerpt from a paper called A Look From Within, A Look at Prince Hall Freemasonry by Reverend Jan L. Biederstadt, EP, PC, and Past Master, taken from MasonicWorld.com. Prince Hall Masonry looks like our Masonry. It would be very hard to distinguish the Prince Hall Grand Lodge from the Grand Lodge of Michigan. Prince Hall Grand Lodge is an independent of all other Grand Lodges, and there is no longer a national Grand Lodge. Each lodge must be chartered by its Grand Lodge, and in Michigan there are 49 lodges with approximately 3,000 members. The most northern lodge in the state is Andrew W. Dungy, number 52 in Idlewild, near Baldwin. There are no Prince Hall lodges in the Upper Peninsula, although the Michigan Prince Hall jurisdiction covers both peninsulas, according to Grand Master Gardner. Each lodge confers 3 degrees. While we do not discuss any Masonic secrets, this writer did learn that their ritual is the Exe Orienti, or the 3-letter key many Michigan Masons carry with them. I had a tour of the Gratiot Avenue Temple, and their lodge rooms look a lot like ours. On the altar, located in the center of the lodge room, are the 3 great lights of Masonry. One variation is that the master sits under the canopy, supported by 2 columns in the east. Michigan Masons who complain about our dues wouldn't like the dues structure in Prince Hall Masonry. Dues average around $10 a month. A brother is declared delinquent at 6 months, according to Grand Master Gardner. If a brother is expelled for non-payment of dues, his sponsor in Masonry isn't expelled with the delinquent brother, as some report. Prince Hall Masonry insists on a strict dress code. Dark suits, black socks, dark shoes, white shirts, and dark ties. According to Grandmaster Gardner, this dress code is strictly enforced. When a man petitions a Prince Hall Lodge, the lodge appoints an investigating committee, and there must be 30 days between degrees. Stories that it takes 1 year between degrees, and that the entire lodge is the investigating committee, are untrue, according to Gardner. Each candidate does have a catechism to learn, like that formerly required in the Grand Lodge of Michigan. Lodges meet twice a month, once for ritual work and again for regular communication. Lodges meet for regular communication each month, but can suspend work during the months of December, July, and August. Refreshments follow this meeting, except at the time of the Master Mason degree, when there is usually a dinner with speeches. A third degree is the festive occasion. White Prince Hall Masons, Grand Master Gardner noted, that they have a number of white Masons, shattering the idea that Prince Hall is simply black. There have been several white men who have served a Prince Hall Lodge as worshipful master. And in the book Black Square Encompasses, the author noted that there was a Prince Hall Lodge in New Jersey where every member but the secretary was white. Structure of the Grand Lodge. There are 44 Prince Hall Grand Lodges located around the world. Each one is independent, but they recognize each other. The newest Prince Hall Grand Lodge is the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of the Caribbean. The Michigan Prince Hall Grand Lodge meets in April for 2 days, and new officers are elected. The Grand Master is elected yearly for a 1-year term. If the Grand Master decides to run for a fourth term, he must receive 2/3 of the vote of the delegates. The moving and grand line begins at Grand Junior Deacon. The non-moving elected line includes the Grand Treasurer, Grand Secretary, Grand Lecturer, Grand Marshal, and 3 Grand Trustees. Appointed Grand Lodge officers include a Senior Grand Steward, a Junior Grand Steward, 2 Assistant Grand Secretaries, a Grand Chaplain, 4 Assistant Grand Chaplains, a Grand Tyler, an Assistant Grand Tyler, 3 Assistant Grand Marshals, a Grand Attorney, 5 Assistant Grand Attorneys, a Grand Pursuivant, a Grand Organist, a Grand Pianist, a Grand Custodian, and a Grand Standard Bearer. Grandmaster Gardner said that in the workings of the Grand Lodge, business is completed at a regular cabinet meeting of the elected Grand Lodge officers. The worshipful masters of the subordinate Blue Lodges are invited and encouraged to attend. A pendant Prince Hall bodies, once a man becomes a Master Mason, he and his wife are eligible to join the Order of the Eastern Star. He can petition either the York Rite or Scottish Rite, even become a Shriner. All of the bodies resemble the parallel to our own Masonic bodies. They have no De Molay, Rainbow, or Job's Daughters, but their shrine sponsors youth groups of their own, the Order of Eyes for boys and the Iserets for girls. Other Black Masonic Grand Lodges, Prince Hall Masonry is not the only Black Masonic organization, although it is the largest of the groups and has respect amongst the Black community. Grandmaster Gardner and the past Grandmaster Dawson noted that there were other clandestine Masonic bodies that have broken off from their organization over the years. The Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Michigan does not maintain any communication with these groups, nor do they have a list of them. Two such bodies that they are familiar with include the International Masons and the Fitzpatrick Grand Lodge. A trip down Gradiate Avenue will reveal a sign proclaiming to be the Grand Lodge of Enoch, another pseudo-Masonic organization. Past Grand Master Dawson noted that they did not recognize these bodies because none of the lodges have ever obtained a charter from the Grand Lodge of England. In their criteria for Masonic recognition, a lodge or a Grand Lodge must have been originally chartered by the Grand Lodge of England or be able to trace its legality through the Mother Grand Lodge. Dawson noted that these other lodges are clandestine and not irregular. Conclusion? For this writer, the interview contained many surprises. I had heard much about Prince Hall Masonry, much of it not true. The time spent with the Grand Lodge officers revealed new light on a subject that has long been clouded with darkness. Prince Hall Masonry is like a parallel universe proclaiming similar landmarks, ritual, and organizations, and its brothers are tied to a mystic bond that is highly respected in their communities. Famous Black Freemasons, a look at who's who of Prince Hall Masonry, reads much like traditional Masonry in the great men that have currently occupy the role of membership. In the book Great Black Men of Masonry by Joseph Mason Andrew Cox, Ph.D., past Grand Master of the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge of New York, are listed 269 black men, of which the vast majority are Prince Hall Masons. The list includes statesmen, actors, musicians, writers, athletes, and more. This week's famous Freemason is not Prince Hall. It is, by chance, William Count Basie, who is a Prince Hall Freemason. William Count Basie was a member of both a Craft Lodge and the Shriner Temple under the Prince Hall affiliation in New York. William Count Basie, born August 21, 1904 and died April 26, 1984, was an American jazz pianist, organist, band leader, and composer. Basie led his jazz orchestra almost continuously for nearly 50 years. Count Basie introduced several generations of listeners to the big band sound and left an influential catalog. Basie is remembered by many who worked for him as being considerate of musicians and their opinions, modest, relaxed, and fun-loving, truly witty, and always enthusiastic about his music. As he summed up the key to his understated style in his autobiography, "I think the band can really swing when it swings easy, when it can just play along like you're cutting butter." Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you came away from it with a greater understanding of Prince Hall Freemasons. Remember to like the show on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @WhenceCameYou, and also feel free to add us to your circle and email us at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Links to the Whence Came You mobile apps are on the website, along with much, much more, at the address wcypodcast.blogspot.com. Why get the app? Extra features and no more syncing. So until next week, have a great week, and for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.